This is DW News Live from Berlin. Thailand belongs to the people. That's the message from protesters to their king. Activists calling for reform of the monarchy install a plaque symbolizing democracy near the royal palace. And thousands march to press their once taboo demands for change at the top. Also coming up, tributes pour in for the U.S. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The death of the liberal icon ignites a partisan battle over who will replace her. We'll take a look at the issue dividing America. And it's beer time again in Munich. The pandemic means the city's famous Oktoberfest is canceled and the showgrounds remain deserted. But local drinking halls are keeping the spirit alive with celebrations on a smaller scale. I'm Nick Spicer. Welcome to the program. Thousands of pro-democracy supporters in Thailand have joined in a rare challenge to the all-powerful monarchy. In one of the biggest displays of defiance yet seen, activists rallied all night in the capital, Bangkok. Their demands include curbs on the power of the king, fresh elections, and wide-ranging constitutional reforms.
This country belongs to the people. The message inscribed on this brass plaque, a symbol of protest, cemented into the ground. For months now, Thais have been calling for reform of the monarchy and political system. But this weekend's demonstration was the biggest in years. Tens of thousands gathered in Bangkok and stayed to protest throughout the night. I want to see changes in the most meaningful way, a bigger change than before, which will take into account people's opportunities, education, and our right to speak the truth, so we can question and discuss things we're not supposed to talk about. There's a chance we'll be successful with our demands, but we'll have to wait and see. If the protesters are still committed to fixing the constitution, then the government won't be able to ignore them forever. The protesters are growing bolder. On Sunday, they handed Royal Guard police a letter setting out their demands. Particularly sensitive is the call for royal reform, including limits to the king's powers. This has broken a taboo in Thailand, where criticizing the monarchy can be punished with up to 15 years in jail. King Vajiralongkorn is out of the country and spends most of his time in Europe. The royal palace has yet to comment on the weekend's protests. But the student activists driving the movement see them as a success. Today proves we are all human beings. We have the same red blood. We've proven that nobody bleeds blue blood. Protesters are calling for more rallies and a day's general strike. So far, the protests have been peaceful. But some fear the authorities could change tack and adopt a more forceful approach towards dissent.
And DW correspondent Florian Nusch in Bangkok says the latest protests represent a significant escalation and the stakes are high.
Thailand students are risking it all by challenging not only the incumbent military-backed regime, but also the, until now, untouchable monarchy. This is nothing short of revolutionary in a country that has had its fair share of violent crackdowns against dissenters. Now, the genie is out of the bottle, and it's not likely to go back in anytime soon. Many expect this weekend's protest leaders to be slapped with lawsuits and long jail terms for what the government calls inciting unrest, or for supposedly defaming the monarchy. But the self-declared leaderless revolution is set to continue. Protesters are vowing not to stop until their demands are met, whatever the costs may be.
President Donald Trump wants to appoint another woman to replace the veteran Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She died on Friday. Republicans have vowed to press ahead with the nomination, but Democrats argue that the process should be delayed until after the election in November.
The steps of the Supreme Court have become a makeshift memorial to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The collection of flowers and cards grew throughout the day. In the eyes of some people, Ginsburg was more than a leading judge, a champion of women's rights, even a liberal icon.
It was because of the work that she's done that I was able to have a good job that allowed me as a single woman to support myself and to choose to have a family, to have reproductive choices that allowed me to delay pregnancy until I was ready for it, and then to choose to do it on my own.
The next Supreme Court judge could be very different. While some grieve Ginsburg's passing, moves to find a replacement at gathering pace. President Trump says he could send a nomination to the Senate as soon as next week.
The process will move. I think it's going to move very quickly, actually. I agree with the statement put out by Mitch McConnell. I agree with it, actually, 100%. I put out a very similar statement you saw. So I think we're going to start the process extremely soon, and we'll have a nominee very soon.
The statement President Trump is referring to is Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's pledge to hold a vote on a nominee before the election. That's angered these protesters outside his Kentucky home. Democrats complain that McConnell refused to move on President Barack Obama's Supreme Court nomination 4 years ago. But there's no legal reason the Republicans can't go forward.
A third of the presidents have appointed justices during an election year, and some even appointed them after they had been defeated. So there is precedent for that. But the lack of consistency between 2016 and 2020 on the part of the Republicans is stark.
The stakes are, of course, high. Republicans could secure a 6-3 conservative majority on the Supreme Court. And that can have far-reaching implications on issues like abortion, Obamacare, and gun rights, whoever wins the White House in November.
Let's take a look now at some of the other stories making news around the world. Italians are voting on constitutional changes which could slim down parliament. Local elections, also taking place this weekend, are expected to favor the right-wing opposition. The polls are the first big test for Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte's center-left coalition since the coronavirus lockdown. U.S. President Donald Trump is backing a deal allowing Chinese-owned video sharing app TikTok to carry on operating in the United States. Washington had announced a ban on TikTok because of security concerns. New arrangements would see the app partnering with American giants Oracle and Walmart. Opponents of the hardline leader of Belarus, Alexander Lukashenko, are calling for more mass protests later on Sunday. Weekly demonstrations in the capital Minsk have been the focus for the pro-democracy movement. In an attempt to reassert control, police have arrested hundreds of women.
Only cowards beat women, shout hundreds of women as they face down the police. But the authorities no longer want to let this weekly march go ahead unchallenged. Police barely seem to hesitate as they packed women into their trucks. Even 73-year-old Nina Bahinskaya was briefly detained. Her defiance of the authorities has made her an icon of these protests, overwhelmingly led by women. It was scary at the beginning, but then you get used to it. What can you do? I'm more scared about living with the feeling that I did nothing when all this was happening in my country. The crackdown is getting harsher by the day. And there is still little sign the riot police are deserting President Alexander Lukashenko, who demonstrators say rigged the August 9 presidential election. What is democracy? It's when the majority has voted for the president. No, nobody voted for him. Women taking part in opposition rallies now not only have to fear for their safety, but also that of their children. Authorities have been threatening to remove children from protester parents, a warning that's only been fueling the anger on the streets.
And DW correspondent Nick Connolly was at Saturday's protest in Minsk and sent this report.
It began with glitter, balloons, and relaxed smiles. But just an hour in, and this week's women's march came to a screeching halt as riot police and balaclavas jumped out of unmarked vans on the protesters' path. Within minutes, the police had encircled the marchers, breaking them down into smaller groups. But only a handful tried to get away, even though they had the chance to do so. Most, it seemed, resigned to the prospect of being arrested, even if that could mean spending 10 days in jail. One thing you hear from protesters here time and time again is this. They can't throw us all in jail. They just don't have enough space. There are just too many of us. And as if to prove exactly that point, just as the arrests were reaching their climax, a giant opposition flag appeared in the sky, pulled by a drone. All the police could do was scratch their heads. If the last few weeks are anything to go by, it seems that every time the government ups the pressure on the protesters, it brings yet more people out onto the streets against itself. People who tell you that whatever happens now, they're tired of being scared.
Here's a look at some developments in the global health emergency. People in Britain who break new coronavirus isolation rules face fines of up to 11,000 euros. Fresh daily cases in South Korea have fallen below 100 for the first time in weeks. And football fans in Italy are being allowed back into stadiums. Up to 1,000 spectators will be able to cheer on their teams in the Serie A. The pandemic means Germany's famous Oktoberfest has been cancelled this year. But all is not lost for beer drinkers in the Bavarian city of Munich. Some local venues are organizing smaller scale festivities which comply with coronavirus regulations.
At 12 on the dot, the first keg is tapped. But that's all that's going on as usual this year. Around 50 of Munich's beer halls are taking part in their own self-styled version of Oktoberfest.
It won't be the usual moneymaker. It isn't a party either. It's more like a normal restaurant environment, but with a bit more atmosphere.
It's officially not business as usual this year, vacant and almost deserted. This site normally plays host to the state-organized Oktoberfest, which brings more than 6 million visitors each year and over €1 billion in revenue.
How does it feel? We miss the Oktoberfest, but we're making the best of it.
The venues taking part hope to keep some of the real festival feeling alive, but hygiene regulations are strict. Entry is controlled, social distancing and the wearing of masks is enforced. Still, some people have their reservations.
I reckon we could have managed one year without Oktoberfest.
It's really pretty full. I wouldn't want to throw myself into the crowds.
You definitely notice the difference.
The police keep a watchful eye as coronavirus cases increasingly rise in Munich. For this reason, children will have to wear masks to school from Monday on. And virologists urge caution. We have to appeal to the responsibility of the people at the festival so as not to risk more problems with the schools and the nurseries. The city meets on Monday to discuss further measures. The mayor has warned of increased risk.
We'll be ensuring that the rules are being followed. I don't want to see pictures of people standing on benches and cheering without distance and without masks circulating for the world to see.
People who support the event argue that celebrations can be properly controlled because all visitors have to register themselves. Even as the beer gardens are full late into the night, people are celebrating in a civilized manner.
And we end in Moscow, where art lovers can now enjoy works which vanished from public view over a century ago. The painting Dancing Figure by Varvara Stepanova has been exhibited only once before in 1921. The exhibition at the Yeltsin Center showcases avant-garde artists who flourished after the revolution but were banned when the Soviet regime turned against abstract art in favor of socialist realism. The show runs until January next year. Organizers hope it will tour internationally. And you are, of course, watching DW News live from Berlin. Up next is Shift, Living in the Digital Age, and it looks at how streaming is changing pop music. Don't forget, you can get all the latest news around the clock on our website at dw.com. I'm Nick Spicer. Thanks for watching.